Hello, creators. Welcome to the Money in XXX podcast. It is me, Violet, and our other host of the podcast, Stella Sky. Today, we are a podcast by creators for creators, and check out all of our stuff. We have a course on our website and many other offerings at minxxx.bio for all of our links to everything. So let's dive into it. Hello, Stella.
Hi, Violet. So we are here today. We're going to do a wrap-up for 2023. When we're recording today, it's still 2023. We're going to reflect back on the past year, everything we learned, and talk about what's to come for next year, because I'm excited. Are you excited?
I'm very excited. New year, yeah. New us.
Or like, I just see a lot of, you know, I see a lot of things coming to fruition this coming year. And yeah, we've had some fun this past year. What was it? November? We were in New Jersey together.
Yeah. It was fun. We've seen each other twice, IRL. The magic of the internet. So it's been a great year. Yeah, we met each other. So yay.
Yeah, we met each other. Minx, you know, got up off the ground this year. We launched our course in November. In addition to going to Exotica, New Jersey together, you also went to XBiz in Miami, yes?
Yes, I did.
Tell me about how was that? Because I haven't been to an XBiz yet, and I'm looking forward to this coming spring. I'm going to be going to the one that's down in LA and Miami. So how was your XBiz Miami? What can you tell us about that?
It was probably the most impactful experience I have had all year when it comes to meeting people and meeting other creators. By far. And what makes XBiz Miami so special is that it is industry only. So when you go, it's basically just a bunch of creators and other people that run businesses in the industry, and we're just all hanging out. Like, that's what it is. So there's a much more relaxed energy to it, and you could really sit down and have a conversation with someone and really connect with people, whether that's in the friendship way or maybe like, hey, let's build something, let's do a business thing, or both. So that was definitely my biggest takeaway from that. And I recommend anyone who is in this industry to go to that and definitely put your money towards that if you want your first experience to be like first industry experience, I should say, IRL. I always tell people to do that one first. But it's great. And it'll be your first one this upcoming year, which will be very
exciting. Yeah, I'm excited to go because so far all the conventions and trade shows that I've been to have been ones that also have fans. So the thing about having fans there is there sometimes a little bit more difficulty in actually interacting with other creators. You're trying to have a conversation with somebody, but obviously people are in line to maybe get a picture with that person or something like that. And so it seems like the after parties or at the hotel really were like prime networking times during Exotica. AVN, I live in Vegas, so I don't like hang out at the hotel. So I'm curious. We'll be attending that. So I am curious to see if I feel differently about it a year later, having gone to AVN last year, and that was my first trade show. I think it'll be interesting to contrast how I feel about one and then the other, because Exotica is exhausting. Working it is exhausting. Even just attending as a creator.
A lot of stimuli.
No, a lot of stimuli. Yeah. You're there all day and you're meeting tons of people, hundreds of people. And I didn't even get in New Jersey. I didn't even get to see the whole convention center. What was your favorite part about New Jersey?
I think my favorite part was definitely my favorite part of everything is meeting creators, honestly, because there's something so amazing about meeting people that do what you do in real life. Like, it's just a shared understanding. So that's probably my favorite part in general, meeting people. But I do agree, it's very exhausting. And it's a lot of stuff. Also, the merch. Wow. Stickers. I have so many amazing stickers. But it definitely, building connections and having just nice combos. But Yeah, I agree. It's a very quick thing. It's like you can have a conversation with someone, but it's for what feels like a limited amount of time. A lot of the time, if you're on the convention floor, which is probably the biggest thing they can watch out for.
Yeah, do you have like any tips after, reflecting back on doing that weekend? Do you have any tips on surviving your first trade show? I think one of the best tips I got was from my friend Rocky Emerson, and she said, bring cough drops. And I was like, that, okay, good
Yes.
idea. And I brought them, and it was genius because you were talking all day in a very, very loud room, and your voice, I could feel my vocal cords like straining at the end of the day. So, cough drops, what kind of tips do you have, Violet?
The cough drop thing is so real. I even like popped a cough drop or two during that time. Bring little snacks, little like power bars, water. And if you're sensitive to sound, bring earplugs. That's a big thing for creators that it's just a lot. It's a lot to handle. So definitely earplugs will be helpful. And taking breaks, like make notes of the quiet parts of the convention and just sit on the floor, like away from people, if you just need to recharge, because you don't have to be walking around the entire time. It's good to take little breaks.
Yes, and yes, big on it, staying hydrated and having snacks because it is way too easy to go the whole day without eating or drinking anything. Like, hours just go by in a blink of an eye because you're talking, and it really does fly by. So, yeah, easy to pack snacks. Although at DC they did. If you're an exhibitor, you can have snacks, but if you're just in attendance, you will not be able to bring food inside. That is
Ooh.
food or out. Yes. I did have to, when I went to DC, because I didn't go as an exhibitor at DC, and I had to leave a whole bunch of cheese sticks at the door. And I was like, oh,
No.
I know. Oh, well.
Oh, well.
And then to go back, just circle back really quick on the XBiz. So, to any creators who do want to go to XBiz, it is important. You do have to register as a creator on XBiz and make a profile if you want to attend these events. And if you're looking forward at the next year and you want to plan that out, make sure that you are signed up so that you can actually register for the event.
Yes.
Because if you're a creator, you can go for free.
Woohoo! Yeah, save $500 and put that towards a plane ticket. Also, oh, a
Yeah,
big one
exactly.
is stickers. Make yourself some sort of thing to be like, hey, this is me. Remember me. That could be either business cards with the QR code or stickers. Everyone loves a sticker.
Yeah, stickers with the QR code. I hand it out. I have stickers that have, you can get it printed at, what did we use? Sticker app.
Yeah,
And they have
good
an
stuff.
option where you can have the paper on the back printed with something. And I had my QR code on the back of my stickers. So I gave those out, and I got a lot of subscriptions over the course of that weekend from handing out those stickers and getting my name out there. So yeah, if you're going to a convention, even if you're just going to walk around, stickers are great to hand out. Business cards are great to hand out. Something with your QR code, and to be able to funnel those people effectively to your site. Typically, I'll do some kind of promotion or free trial directly on my fan site. So when I hand the sticker over, also I'll let them know, like, hey, there's a free trial. Because you do want to, hopefully capture those people. So if you can get them to sign up with OnlyFans at the very least, you can then follow that person back when they follow you, and then you can still message them and have that added. Yep. A little bit of a tip for being able to actually capitalize on that, because that's important. You wouldn't want to show up unprepared.
Yes.
Have something
Physical.
to hand out. Yes, I think that's really, really important, because if you go as a creator and you are dressed up, people are going to want to interact with you, regardless if you're just walking around. People are going to want to interact with you. And that varies on different levels depending on the shows. I definitely noticed at AVN, there is a lot more from last year. What I saw, a lot more people just crowding around and taking photos, as opposed to Exotica. It's a lot more one-on-one. I think the fan base is a lot more loyal.
Yeah.
With Exotica, they tend to go to shows, follow. They know these creators. They might even be regulars.
That's what it seems like. I definitely agree with that.
Yeah. And And the nice thing is you're going to meet photographers in person. You're going to meet videographers in person. You're going to meet people who are running platforms in person and other creators. And that's a great way to form a connection with these people in a safe way. And you can feel less alone. You can also be able to utilize these people later on. There are photographers that I met that I ended up booking and people that I met. If you live in a city that has a lot of creators, like I live in Las Vegas, there's a lot of porn stars and creators here. There, I made a lot of friends that now are my friends here. That was my favorite part, honestly, is I was able to build a community in my town, in my city where I live. And that has helped me immensely. I think that is really, really a key component. I know I keep saying the networking is great, but really, please listen to us.
It's true. That's the best part about these events, for sure.
Yeah. And how about yourself? Did you meet any people that you ended up working with throughout the year?
Yeah, absolutely. So all of my closest friends in the industry that I chat with very regularly, I've met them all in real life, whether that was XBiz Miami or it was Exotica, primarily XBiz Miami, just because that one is like, feels like summer camp. Like there's something about that energy for creators. It's very cool, very special. And then I met a couple that is, they're photographers and videographers, but primarily their background's in videography, which is really cool because that's a little rarer than photographers. And I met with them and I was actually able to work with them and they were able to add to their portfolio for AVN. And I was able to get great professional things done for me. So I will be working with them again.
Was that
AVN.
That cool shoot?
Yeah. Yeah. Their name
that
is
cool shoot that you
Neon
did?
Multiplex. Yeah. So really cool stuff.
Cool.
Everyone, look them up if you want something a little more alternative. It might be your speed.
Yeah. That was super cute. I saw that on your socials and I was like, wow.
Yeah.
Neat.
It was great. They were so cool.
Yeah. So it paid off to be able to go to these conventions. You met people that ended up helping you produce some really cool content.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful stuff.
Yeah. Awesome. How about this has been a big year for social media for both of us.
Yes.
What have you done in the world of social media? How have you grown? I know you post on TikTok now.
I do a little TikTok moment. I was like, so the beginning of this year, I was vehemently against social media. I didn't even have a Twitter made, like an or X or whatever, but I didn't even have that made.
Yeah.
I just wasn't using it and I didn't care. So now my biggest following is on Twitter for sure. That is mostly because of my friends who have helped like promote me. And I've worked with some of them like with camming and stuff. So it's like, you know, we've traveled and worked together after meeting, which adds. But that's really cool that I've gained some sort of a following. And then Chatterbait has just been steadily growing for me. Actually, this December, I reached my 1 year full-time sex work anniversary, which is really crazy. So my sales funnels have been good. And I just have been like slowly tweaking and improving. And it's very rewarding to do that. But primarily, social media has been really solid and campsites have been solid as well. Clearly, people are finding me because on random days where I like this holiday, haven't been working too much. Still getting random subscribers. Where are y'all coming from? I'm not doing anything.
Yeah.
And it does pay off to just kind of chip away at it. What about you, Stella? You are the social media queen up in here.
No, absolutely not. I'm not the social media queen. But today is the 1 year anniversary of the WAP video that went crazy.
Congrats.
I'm like, should I go do another one like for an anniversary? I don't know. And yeah, social media has been, I went through several phases this year. I mean, I had my initial burst of virality and getting into TikTok and then having to go through just getting into being a more regular poster, being able to batch create and have content ready to go and having a process for it. Cause up until that point, I was just kind of doing whatever. And so I've really been able to refine the process by which I make TikToks, where I'm finding sounds, saving them, writing these down with, you know, how many I need and that I'm actually producing a certain amount of TikToks. And then I got into my TikTok live phase where I did probably for four, I feel like June until September was the date range. I have it written down because I did make money off of TikTok Live and it ended up being enough to have to claim for taxes. Yeah, yay and boo. But that was a whole wave, seeing what it's like to do TikTok Live, being, you know, regular, just like with any live streaming, camming, Twitch, what have you. It's really important to have that regular schedule. So when I picked a regular schedule and I did like every morning, 7 a.m., this is the time I do it for like an hour, and it ended up getting huge, and then it ended up getting banned. So then that kind of went up and came down. It definitely helped to funnel traffic. What surprised me, though, was afterwards, I didn't really fall off as much as I thought it would. It's definitely not as high because sometimes if I had a busy live stream, it would push like 100 people in an hour to my page. But then afterwards, you know, I don't get numbers like that, but there's still a steady stream. And so, like you said, chipping away at it, that slow and steady, building up my Instagram really helped, building up my Twitter. It's probably my smallest of my three. I think it's around 8,000. It's not the biggest. Getting my Instagram past 20,000 followers in a year, all of that has been pretty interesting because I also considered myself prior to this not a social media person, and there's still a piece of me that's like, me? No.
What am I doing?
Me? No, not TikTok. Yeah, so there was definitely a point in my life, like I remember during the pandemic, like actively resisting TikTok. And if I could go back in time and like slap myself, you know, I would.
Yeah, exactly. And I feel like that's a huge thing is rolling with the punches. Like I think throughout, you know, the course of this career, there's a lot of censorship. There's a lot of things that sex workers have to deal with that are very unique to what we do. And it's like things like if you're live getting banned, or it's like OnlyFans deciding to take down all your boy girl content. It's little things like that, that you're like, all right, you think this is going to be detrimental. It's not. You live and you learn and you move on.
Right.
And that's kind of how it is.
Yeah. None of them have ruined me getting banned or, you know, things that I could have let really get to me. You know, I had my Instagram has been under several rounds of like shadow banning where I get the notice and they, you know, earmark all my content and yada, yada. If I just decided to quit right then or like getting frustrated at OnlyFans, I literally today also got an email from a help ticket that I sent to OnlyFans in May.
Oh my God.
In May. And they just got back to me. And so if I let any of those things stop me, I definitely would have failed. So the most important thing is that you continue to work at it in a steady fashion that is sustainable. And that way, in the end, your progress will be made. I think the other thing is don't put all your eggs in one basket. If I had only had a TikTok and didn't have my Instagram, I'm sure that the live being banned would have affected me a whole lot more. Whole lot more. But thankfully, by that point in the year where my TikTok live got banned, I had built up a pretty substantial Instagram base. So that was really important. And part of that too was being able to collaborate and tag and be shared on stories with creators at Exotica, people that I met at Exotica. That's another thing. So networking in that way, and it benefits everybody to be able to band together like that.
Yeah.
And yeah, I don't know. What other tips for social media do you have?
Probably, those are kind of like the main things for sure, I think, with Social Media 101. And no one really talks about that aspect of censorship and getting banned. And we all know social media doesn't like sex workers. And there are resources that are being built up, like platforms. I heard about Slushy. That's an option. That's a TikTok alternative. There's more not safe for work things that are growing. And again, it's like, putting another egg in another basket as just an option, as a way to grow. And the biggest thing with content is that you can post the same thing in many different places. It does not need to be a TikTok on TikTok. You could put that TikTok on lots of other platforms. So everywhere.
Yeah, reuse that content where you can get the most out of your content. Now's a great time to look back at the content that you posted all year long. It's December. It's time to reflect, look at which months you did great, which weeks, what content, what type of content, and that you can plan next year and have a little bit more guidance. You have a whole year to look back on, or maybe it's time for you to start this year and you get to go off of, you know, what we're telling you now, and a year from now, you'll be able to look back and refine that process even more. But you have to get started, and don't be afraid to experiment. I think another thing that I did a lot this year was experimenting with trying different things, burner accounts. I had a burner phone. Well, I still have it. And I would experiment with TikTok stuff on the burner phone that was not connected to my regular phone. So trying out how I can link things, different risque things. So have burners. I think that's another one. Experiment a little bit. Try things out. Try them out in a controlled manner where you can actually measure what's happening. So by having a separate account, I could really see what was happening on that account on its own and know what's doing well and what's not. And if you approach social media a little bit more kind of like a science experiment, I think it's a little more fun. But maybe that's just because I'm a nerd.
I agree.
So you mentioned Slushy. So there's a lot of platforms. There's a lot of platforms now.
A lot.
I think I learned about a lot of them going to trade shows this year. There's a lot coming out. So I think you're working with a platform, correct?
Yes. So I work with primarily, I would say, like MintStars, just because I know Jessica, or the CEO. And there's a lot of platforms that are definitely putting creators first, which is very important to a lot of people because, you know, we get screwed over by other platforms all the time. So a lot of more ethical ones seem to be coming slowly but surely. So yeah, right now I work pretty closely with MintStars. It's an account that I'm slowly starting to set up. And it's just a more ethical option to give us higher payouts, do all kinds of things of that nature, be able to sell clips. And it's very cool. And they used to kind of do it as more of a crypto thing, but now they allow like all kinds of payment options. So if you want, there are options.
Oh, I was going to say, yeah.
With higher payouts and stuff.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. So they changed.
Yeah, they're slowly kind of changing. Okay. And they listen. Like, that's a huge thing. They ask sex workers to be like, hey, could we get your opinion on this? Like, what's going to make your experience better or your subscribers' experiences better? And that's really cool. So lots of stuff like that. What about you, Stella?
Well, we met the guys from Hotline, Get Hotline, which is a platform. It's available now. You can sign up for it. And I'm working with them, having a profile up there to try out content. I actually put out a poll on my Instagram story the other day asking people, because I had someone mention to me that the whole reason that they don't do OnlyFans is because they don't want to see it on their bank statement, or they don't want, you know, somebody else to see it on their bank statement. So what Hotline is they are a crypto-based fan site. So it has not only the advantage of this is not going in and out of your bank account, this is going out of your wallet, coin wallet. But the other thing is it opens the doors to, one, bigger payouts. They have a 90% payout, and it opens the door to, two, allowing more types of content. So obviously things that are illegal are still illegal, but there are things that are banned on places like OnlyFans, and depending on the sites, you know, Chatterbait, mm-hmm. all the sites, Clips for Sale, ManyFeeds, LoyalFans, Fansly, they all have limitations put on them by the financial institutions. And that's something that I've also had to learn on the other side for Minx in the services we provide for creators. We also aim to provide a way for creators to sell their content. And in doing so, had to do a lot of research in finding the right kind of payment processors that will allow us to use major financial institutions, but also don't oppose selling sexy content. So if you use crypto, of course, you bypass all of that. So interesting avenue to look at. I think we'll have them on the podcast next year to talk more about crypto and crypto-based platforms. And then Midstars, they were doing NFTs, but it sounds like they expanded.
Yeah, so in a way, because I mean, we hear the word NFT and we're like, what? Is that like those monkey things? Like, but right. The way that they do it, long story short, is that your content essentially becomes an exclusive thing. So depending on when subscribers subscribe, the longer they've been subscribed, they get more content. And this content, whether maybe they're not that into feet, they can sell those foot photos or that foot video to someone who's really into feet. So they make a cut and you make a cut. Ooh. So you almost have your own marketplace within your content that you have on there, which is a cool thing. It's unique and not something that a lot of other platforms do. So something for everyone.
Yeah. And we'll also have Slim Cardano on next year, but he's going to talk about stripper coins. So even using crypto specifically for sex workers. And then not only that, he has this great idea. I apologize if I'm butchering it, Slim, but it is having coins for creators where you purchase them and it gets you like a free pass to their OnlyFans. But it also connects you to this creator because by purchasing this person, now you now have a connection through this coin to the person. You have the ability to like message them, things like that. He'll be able to explain better than I will. But sounds really interesting. I think crypto and AI, these are all going to be a part of 2024. The AI stuff is blowing my mind. Nikki Huntsman, she has her AI that just launched today, I believe. There's so many things happening today. And it's kind of wild. We'll get to play around with one of the AI's chats. Be able to bring that to you on an upcoming episode. So I'm excited for that. The ones I got to play with at Exotica, crazy. Like, I'm just so used to ChatGPT and talking to like such a PG AI that being able to talk to one that is like, oh my God, like, I wish I could just say this fast, like just right out there. Yeah. I mean, what do you think about the whole AI thing?
I think it's fascinating. And I think it's something that we all should consider, whether it's using some sort of ChatGPT to assist us with work or options where it's like, oh my God, you can use your voice or make like a virtual version of yourself. There's a lot you can do with it. And I think a lot of people get a little bit scared and intimidated by it. Like I've certainly had people I've met that are like, right, it's going to take your job someday. And it's like, okay, for a certain subset of people, they might want that AI girlfriend, but not everyone wants that as their way to have pleasure. So it's kind of one of those things where it's like, kind of take what you want to try with AI, but don't let it scare you because it's very primitive still right now. And there's a lot of things.
Yeah. It's still in its infancy.
Yes, absolutely.
It's still learning. It's got a lot of learning to do. I think I was talking with some of the AI creators about the data sets that they're trying to get a hold of to be able to have the AI learn from. Because I agree. I think how awesome would it be to be able to have a picture, let's say, or a video. Okay, you have a clip. How cool would it be to upload the clip to like a ChatGPT like AI and have it spit out a caption with like a sales hook and everything in it? Like that would be baller. Yeah. And to be able to have an AI created with your personality that you could set to chatting or sexting for you, that would be incredible. I think a lot of people would benefit from that. People are scared of AI a little bit, maybe for not understanding it. And obviously the potential could go anywhere. I think it has the potential to put a lot of those chamois agencies out of business.
I agree, for sure.
That's definitely something, because if they're hiring like subpar chatters, why wouldn't you just want like a AI version of yourself to do that? I would totally go for that instead of hiring. Typically they're hiring, you know, out of the country, something like that, if they're doing it. And sometimes it can go well. Some people have great experiences with it. I also hear bad things sometimes, you know. The only way you can fully control it is if it's you.
Absolutely. And AI can almost, hopefully, within the next year or 2 years, help us become an assistant in a way. As you mentioned, captions and all that. Just basic administrative assistant tasks, just so we can put our energy and thought into other things.
Yes. I want to have myself for virtual assistant. Like, it would be so cool if I could have an AI that is me. And be like, okay, I need a menu for this week and a shopping list. And can you pick out my outfits? And like, it could do all that menial stuff for you, potentially. Like, I'm imagining like a Siri, but it's you.
Yeah.
Sick. I'm totally into it. Are you going to try doing any new platforms or experimenting with AI stuff?
I'm very curious about Slushy. And if opportunities come around with AI, I will definitely jump on them, just because I am very, very curious about the whole process of that. But definitely, those are kind of the two things. But there's a few things that I also still really want to focus on. Like, I really want to focus on Chatterbait and probably stay on that as my primary cam site. I've experimented with other cam sites, which I do occasionally, and I'm like, this just doesn't hit as hard. Like, this does not feel as right to me. So it's kind of like that concept of being like, all right, I'm going to go on all these websites and figure out what sticks the most with me. Another big thing I really want to hone in on is Loyal Fans. That's a really good platform from what I've heard from my friends that have started it up in the past year. And they're like, I have been doing really well on this. It's very passive. And just kind of getting my clips on to different websites and just kind of creating more passive streams of income for me. That's probably my biggest thing I'm going to try and do.
Yeah. Expand out that library for me. That's going to be posting up my content from last year, having it uploaded to many vids and clip sites and having it put up there. I think now that that stuff's like a year old, like, I don't feel guilty about putting it like off from my OnlyFans.
Exactly.
Because I do like to keep some level of exclusivity. Right. Which is why it's important to kind of have like an order of operations in a way. Like, okay, first something goes here, then it goes here, then it goes here. So yeah, likewise, I'll be like expanding my library. Something I will mention is go ahead and grab your username on Slushy. Like, that is another thing. Get your username on every platform you can, so it's the same across all platforms. And this serves in two different ways. One, you have it. If you want to use it at a later date, you have it. Somebody else can't take it and pretend to be you. But the other thing is that will increase your SEO. So when someone Googles your name, these things are going to pop up. So if one of these sites ends up being popular, you won't have to have FOMO. You'll already have that account.
Absolutely.
I don't know. I'm feeling pretty excited. I think it's going to be really interesting to see what comes of all this AI stuff. I feel like they're launching right now. We're going to see some cool stuff at AVN, I'm sure. Oh, yeah. XBiz coming up in a couple weeks here. Yes. So now's the time. Plan your calendars. And yeah. Happy New Year.